And welcome to Calvary Fellowship Monument for Wednesday, October 7th, 2020. It's already October and fall is in the air. The leaves are changing, a sign that winter is not too far away. And the world seems to be changing around us too and having its own problems. The leaves are falling off the trees. We have protests and we have COVID restrictions and more people are coming down with COVID. And there's fear and there's hatred going on. But Jesus is our Lord, and he's bigger than all these things together. He cares and he protects his own. He's coming back soon, so we really need to be ready for him to come back. So let us read and pray and be fellowship with him tonight and with each other and prepare for his return and share the good news with each other tonight. Tonight we're going to be studying 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to be finishing the chapter. We're going to do 13 through 24 this evening. So that's where we're going to be at tonight. And it's so good to have you all here with us, and I'm glad we could be in fellowship one with another. There's nothing better than the body of Christ being able to get together. So I hope you've gotten home from work, had a chance to settle down, get some dinner in you, and if not, feel free to eat while we're studying together. And just let's have a good time together as we worship and seek the Lord and his face. So we can buckle up and get ready to hear God's word tonight, and let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for getting us through the week so far. We know we have more to do, and we know we have more to do before you come. We have love to share with our neighbors and our friends and our family. Help us to not get sidetracked by the busyness of life, and help us to remember the only thing important in life is you. And that we share that with those that are around us. Lord, I pray for that opportunity as I've been able to start a new job, and I pray that I'll be able to be a good witness there. And I pray that each and every one of you is a good witness where you are, at home or at work, when you do the different things that you do. And I pray that we're able to stay in this good fellowship and hold each other accountable in following after Christ. But let's try to hold each other accountable in studying the Word and living the Word out. Not as a gotcha, but as an I love you, brother, or I love you, sister. And let's study the Word tonight. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll send your Spirit, that you'll reach into our hearts, and you'll help us to worship and love you with all that we are. And open up our hearts and our eyes to see who you are and how you want to live in our lives in a more complete way tonight. And I just pray that using this vessel that you've given to me, I pray that you would use it even as wicked and lowly as it is. And I pray you'd forgive me for my sins and help me to be the mouthpiece you've called me to be, because here I am, Lord, send me. Help us all have that prayer. Amen. The Lord sees the wickedness of man, and he sent his son to seek and to save the lost. And soon, as in Revelation, he will come back to call his own back to himself. And he's going to come back and judge this world. And so we know that the sin and the decay in this world isn't going to last forever. So we know that we have a hope and a promise that is true. The promise that raised Jesus from the dead is that promise that God gives us. That he loves us and that he cares for us. But he will judge this world and those who do not follow after him. Yet he is ready and he's patient and he's kind and he's calling each of us to come to him. And he's not going to let evil reign forever. The Lord sees and he's going to act as he has promised. What's before in Genesis 6, 5 through 8, I pray that we're going to be like Noah and listen to the call of God and do what he says. We might not have an ark to build for a coming flood, but we have the promise of the good news and the gospel to save people from that deluge that is coming, from the pain and sorrow through the book of Revelation and that judgment which is to come. We have the means for the salvation of the world, which is Jesus Christ. Let us share that so that we can give people that as well. Because there was a wickedness on the earth at Noah's time. And the Lord saw the wickedness of man, and that it was great on the earth. and that every intent of man's heart was only on evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had created man on earth. He was grieved in his heart, and I pray he would be grieved at us today because we are not taking his message to heart. The Lord said, I'm going to blot out man whom I've created from the face of the land, from the man to the animals to the creeping things to the birds of the sky, for I'm sorry that I've made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. May we be found favor too, to have favor with the Lord as Noah did. The Lord has sought us out, and he has sent us his Son to restore us, to rescue us, and to put us back into right relationship with him through the blood of his Son, Jesus. Praise God, and let us be thankful for the gift that he has given to us in this time, and that we have to share with a dying world. Now let's begin our study. This is 1 John chapter 3, 13 through 24. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love the word, let us not love with just word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. We know this, that we are of the truth, and we will assure our heart before him in whatever condemns us. For God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. This commandment that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another, just as he has commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he abides in him. So he abides in us, and we abide in him. We know that by this he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given to us. That is our passage for this evening. That's John 3:13-24. And just in a quick reading of those verses, it brings to mind one of my favorite verses. And if I haven't told you before, I'll tell you now. Before my son Thomas was born, the Lord gave me a verse for him. It's a verse that still sticks with me today, that greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. That just stirs up within me the passage we just read today. And John 14:13 also comes to mind. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son, when we pray according to his will. Now we can just start dissecting a little bit of the passage and go through this and see what the Lord really says to us through John today, and what he's telling to the early church and to us today in the latter church. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. So we shouldn't be surprised if the world hates Christians, because it hated Jesus and nailed him to the cross. Should we expect less when we stand for him as he stands? That doesn't mean we make an offense to man because of our faith in God. It doesn't mean we flaunt it and seek to be hated. We love, and let us be hated for our love, and not because we are distasteful, because we have treated people wrongly. Let's treat people with the love that Christ loved us, so that others may come to that salvation. So do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. We touched on that last week, loving the brethren. Do we really love our brothers and sisters in Christ? Have you reached out this week and touched another church member and encouraged them in the Lord this week? You know, have you done that? If not, I encourage you to before the end of the week. Just encourage another brother or sister in the Lord. Give them a call. Send them a text. Just encourage them. Hey, this is what I read today. I think this is a great passage. What do you think? You know, call someone up and say, hey, I'm praying for you. I know you're going through a rough time. You know, is there anything I can do for you? And when I go into this, you know, I'm going to ask for a prayer request this evening. You know, for my granddaughter Sadie. Some of you know her. She's having a difficult time adjusting to middle school, and she's dealing with some issues of self-worth and some other things. But above all, I would ask for that this evening, that you would give some prayers for her. And when you have a prayer need, let someone know. Let somebody come alongside of you. If not literally, figuratively, put their arm around you and say, I am with you, brother. I'm with you, sister. You know, and I will agree with you in prayer. And that's what we need from one another. When you're struggling, having a tough time, when someone you love is hurting, if you can't be there, if you can't do something, you know, the prayer isn't the last resort. It isn't the only resort. It is the best resort. You know, go first into prayer. Go first into battle. Because there's a war going on for the souls of our families. There's a war going on against God and against His people. So if you're struggling in some way, a physical ailment, you know, emotions, you know, whatever it would be, whether there's an attack on your family, Lord, we pray for those. And we pray that the Lord would reach out unto those. But if we don't have love for the brethren, because it says, he who does not love abides in death. And death is a stench. Death stinks. You know that when you open up your refrigerator and you know when that salad has been in there way too long, when those hard-boiled eggs or the egg salad has turned, you can smell those things, and you know when things have gone wrong with that. And so love abides, but death does not. Death stinks. Death, there's a problem, because there is not love in death. And it goes on even further and says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And at this time, I can't help but thinking of, you know, the political battles that are going on. You know, and how one person hates another person for their political stance. That's not what God has called us to be, is to hate one another. We're to love one another. Even if they have a different view, it's for us to love, to share our view. Because it's easy to stand and to say, we believe that human life is right. But to say, I hate you because of your view, is just the same as the murder of abortion. That word hate is very strong, but that word is true. There's so many venomous words that come out of our mouth. Instead of words that would bring people to salvation, they're words that bring people to hate Christians, not because of our love, but because we espouse hate at times. Yes, we need to stand firm against murder and hate. But if you hate your brother, you're a murderer also. You know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So let us be careful how we walk if we're gonna take those steps and we're gonna take those ways of hating a brother or a sister. You know, by taking, you know, a political stand. You know, Jesus had every chance to decry Rome and to say that, you know, the Roman Empire was evil and what they were doing was wrong, you know, and yet he said, give Caesar what's Caesar's and give the Lord's what's the Lord's. And to share love with those that are around us because he came to seek and save the lost. That is our job, is to seek and save the lost, to share with a dying world the hope of eternal salvation, the hope of a God that loves them, that you're not alone. In these days of COVID, so many people are alone and struggling with being alone and not feeling loved and not feeling cared for. And the thoughts of suicide, nobody cares. If I leave and I am gone, nobody will notice. You know, we need to show the worth in people around us and not espouse hate, but espouse love for another. Because Christ died for us, loving us, even in our sin. We need to love as well. So let's be careful that we don't live as a murderer and hate our brother. Because we know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Can a murderer be forgiven? Oh, yes. Can we be forgiven when we espouse hate to one another? Yes, we can. That's different than church discipline. That's different than standing up and letting a brother know about their sin. It's letting them know it in love. Brother, sister, I see you're doing the wrong thing in Christ. You should not be living with a woman or a man before marriage. You should not be doing those things. We can say those things, but in love. It's affecting your relationship with the Lord. We can share that with them. And we can share with them in a loving way, that Christ loves them and cares for them and can forgive and will forgive. We know this love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. And that's where it comes back to that passage I was talking about before in John. Greater love has no one than this, and he lays down his life for his friends. Are you willing to lay your life down for your friends? Are you? Or your friend calls and says, I need help this weekend. Well, I'm too busy. I need to clean the dust off the top of my curtains this weekend. Can't there be a different time for that? Can't we reach out and help one another when we can? Can't we set things aside and help a brother or sister when they're in need? We really need to do that. And if you need help, you need to ask sometimes. Because sometimes just, you know, at church we say, hey, how are you doing? You say, oh, fine, nothing's wrong. Life is going good. When inside you're saying, why don't you please ask me what's going on in my life? You know, I gave you a quick answer, but that's not what's going on inside. Let's reach out to one another. You know, and that's one thing that I've really enjoyed, you know, from Kerry Maroney, because he would always put his arm around, how are you doing this week, brother? You know, and then it's not just how you're doing this week, brother, but, you know, how's your walk with the Lord doing? You know, what, you know, how are things? And dig deeper into those things. We need to reach out to one another and seek those things. But sometimes you need to say, instead of saying, hey, everything's okay, you can say, well, everything's not okay. I need some help. And then we can reach out and help. Sometimes, you know, we're willing to help, but we don't know where the need is. One, we need to seek out that need as brothers and sisters in Christ. And the other is to let people know there's a need when there is one. Because we are a family. And we carry one another's burdens. And they're not a burden to us. For we eagerly seek to help out. We eagerly seek to love one another. Because as we love one another, you know, the Lord just multiplies that inside of our heart. It's just amazing how he does that. We might need love, but if a brother says they need it and we give it out, it seems like we're filled up with even more than we had before, and the Lord meets our need before we even get a chance to ask. It's amazing the way the Lord works. We know love by this. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for our brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? I'm not going to say much about that verse. I'm going to say, Read that verse again tonight before you go to bed. Meditate on that. What does that mean to you in your life? What does that mean? But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or the tongue. Let us not just love with the word or the tongue, but in deed and truth. There's enough people that say things. We need more people that do things, that do love instead of just say love. There's lots of people who sing kumbaya around the campfire. But who's the one that comes over when a family member has passed away just to spend time with you so that you don't spend it alone? Who's the one who calls you up and says, hey, how are you doing? Let's go have lunch, you know, after a traumatic event. You know, we could celebrate and rejoice over the good times. But let's also do that when people are struggling and not shy away from them. Well, you know, I don't know if I really want to open that can of worms, you might say. And the Lord says, healing isn't always easy. And healing sometimes hurts. Like when you put alcohol on a cut, that can hurt. But it does take out the impurities. You know, there are many times when, you know, those types of things happen. So sometimes it's not always comfortable and easy. But deed and truth is what the Lord wants us to live. But he also wants us to use those words. He wants us to share love. He wants to share the salvation message with those around us. You know, someone, you know, is losing their significant other. Maybe they're a Christian, maybe they're not. You know, so-and-so is moving out. I don't know what I'm going to do. I've never had to live on my own before. What a great time to share. The Lord has never left you. The Lord is never going to leave you. You have a Savior who's cared for you from the beginning, who gave his life for you. You don't have to know some great message, you know, and spout it out. We have the message written down for us. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. Give your life to the Lord. Repent from your sin. Turn from your sin and seek him with your whole life. That's all he's asking. You know, it doesn't take a degree behind your name to lead someone to salvation. It takes a knee bowed to the Father in heaven is all it takes, is a willing heart. Here I am, send me. We know by this that we are of the truth, and we will assure our heart before him in whatever condemns us. For God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. For inside our hearts, we can be assured of love. We can be also, it can condemn us. It can show us where we've fallen short of the love of God. You know, our heart is truly a window to our soul. You know, and the Lord, if he is part of that, wants to heal it, wants to show other people. You know, show your heart. Don't just wear it on your sleeve, but show it and say, the God who has healed me, the God who has protected me, the God who loves me is inside of my heart. Look, this is why I'm loving. This is why I'm caring. But it also can be the one that condemns us when we don't share, when we don't give, when we shut our own door, and then we wonder why we're lonely. If you're out seeking where you can share and where you can love, you're never going to have time to sit home alone and just say, oh, woe is me. You're going to be filled up by giving love out. And by giving love out, the Lord pours his love back in to overflowing because he promises that he'll be with us. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. As we heard last week, we have confidence when he returns, that we don't have to run and hide as Adam did in the garden because of his sin. Adam, where are you? Called the Lord. We don't want him to say, George, where are you? When he comes, we want to come and run to him and hold him as a loving God who's come to call his people to himself. We don't want to have to run and cower before him because our sin is so great. We have a God who has forgiven us. The stripes which he bore and the sacrifice upon the cross and the blood he spilled was all that was necessary to cover our sins. So we're made righteous, not by what we do, but by what he did. So we no longer need to run and hide, but we can run to a loving and caring Heavenly Father. So we have confidence before him that our salvation is true. We have confidence that he's not going to leave us nor forsake us. The next passage, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. He does not answer because we keep his commandments. We answer because we receive what we've asked, because we receive the salvation we're given. We love, and he gives it to us. Not by because we obey his commandments, but we obey his commandments because of his love, because what we do receive from him, praying in his will for his will to be done. As Jesus prayed in the garden, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Because God knows the desires of your heart. And he knows when they are righteous and when they are holy, and he knows when they are just self-serving and prideful. He knows what you really need. He knows the difference between what you need and what you want. There are times when those are the same. There's times when he wants to give you what you want, like a loving Heavenly Father. But he also knows the consequences of what he's going to give you and what is necessary. But he will give you whatever we ask, we can receive from him. We've read that before. We read it again in the passage just a while ago from John 14 at the beginning of our study this evening, that he wants to give us good things. And we want to obey his commands, not because we have to, but because we get to. Because we want to do what's right, because we love him. And we don't want to bring shame to his name. But we know if we fall short, we can repent and receive that forgiveness. And that salvation was never lost or taken away. For once we are in his hand, nothing can take you out. So we have confidence in a loving God and a God who's more powerful than the sin and the hate of this world. Our God is holy and righteous. And he's going to come and judge the world. And the hatred and the evil will be destroyed. It's not going to just be set aside. God is going to destroy it. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And the evil is going to be cast aside. So we get to do the things that are pleasing in his sight. The things that are pleasing is to love one another, to love the brethren, to meet each other's needs, to love, to share to a dying world. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're white or black. It doesn't matter if they're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if they're men or women. It doesn't matter if they have a job or not. It doesn't matter. What matters is they're all children created by God, and he wants to see them all saved. So it's our job to share and give them that opportunity, because he's not going to make anyone believe. But he gives us that opportunity and the joy to share that love with those that are around us. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. And not just as he has commanded us, but as he has shown us. To love the Lord God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him. So we abide in him by keeping his commandments, and he abides in us. And we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And we have the joy that when we receive Christ, his Spirit comes into our heart. And we never have to experience the anguish that Jesus had upon that cross when he took our sin. and was separated from the God in heaven. We never have to shout those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Our sin caused that pain upon our Savior. And it's not just that we were murderers, adulterers, and thieves. As we saw earlier, just because we hate our brother, we become a murderer. Because you have lust for a man or for a woman, you've already committed that adultery. But he can forgive those sins. And we do not have to be separated from our God. We can repent. We can ask for forgiveness. It's given to us. The Lord won't turn his back to us, for he has given all for us. We have that joy to share that with those that are around us. We know that by this he abides in us, and by the Spirit whom he has given us, the Spirit by which we get to study the Word of God, the Spirit which brings those words to remembrance when we're sharing with believers and non-believers, as we're encouraging believers, as we're sharing with non-believers. Lord, we need to pray for those opportunities each day that we share that love with one another. This is one of the more practical verses that we can get to with our Christian walk, and that we need to share it, love it, and live it, and what it really means to be a Christian. But what it also means that God is not going to live with sin forever, that he is going to come and judge this world. And we know that the death of this world is not where we need to live, and the hate of this world is not where we need to live, but is in the salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us close in prayer tonight. Lord God, you are a loving God who has loved us from the first page of the Bible. In the beginning, God created. You've loved us that much that you have created us. Lord, in the book of Revelation, you said you are going to return and call your children to yourself, that you have prepared a home for us to come and to abide with you, and that we get to be and then no longer in a world that is fallen and full of sin, that our bodies in this sinful life can be taken away, and that we can be holy, not because of us, but because of you, and that there will no longer be sin reigning in us, and that we will get to be with you in paradise. But until that, you've given us the joy of being able to share that love with a dying world. We get to share that love with other Christian brothers, believers. And I pray that we would reach out to other loving brothers and sisters, that we'd reach out to them and pray for them, pray for their needs, that we'd pull alongside them, that we would not have anyone alone and fearful of what is to come, that we can come alongside them, that we can encourage them, and that we can share love, the love of Christ, which is in his Spirit that he's filled us with once we receive salvation in him. I pray that we do share that with one another. And I pray that as we get done this evening, that we write down at least one name, if not two, that we would call this week or text this week that we haven't talked to in a while, a family member, a friend, and that we would encourage and share that with one another. If you have a need, share that love with another one in this coming week. And I pray that as we do that, our love would be shown to this world, and that they would know we are Christians by our love, like that song we sang last week at church. Lord, I pray you prepare our steps as we leave here from this study tonight, as we prepare for women's study tomorrow, as we prepare for our church service on Saturday night. We pray for Tony that you would bless him with the words to say, that your Spirit would guide each of us to be able to come with open hearts to hear the message which you have, that we may leave different than when we came. I thank you for this evening and being able to be together with one another. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you for being with us, and I pray that the Lord would be with you in these coming days. I pray that I get to see you all soon. God bless.